inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch,
you know, that was the theme song when I first started the garden show in KTAR in the 80s.
Is it Paul and Mary?
It's John Denver.
Oh. John Denver, yeah.
It's a Pete Seeger song, I think. But, yeah.
He missed water. That's another key ingredient from listening to his checklist there. He missed water from his key ingredients to make the garden grow.
Well, you know, there's a lot of places don't have to worry about that. We're pretty unique when it comes to gardening and agriculture with the amount of water we have to use and apply to get things to grow, and trying to grow things in a very arid situation, yeah, it's pretty tough. But a lot of places, I can remember when years ago in the landscape industry, when there was a big drought in the Midwest, and the guys were laughing because they were selling so many hoses and sprinklers, nurseries in the Midwest, because people typically didn't have to water their lawns. Lawns were turning brown, so people were having to water them, but nobody owned a hose long enough or a sprinkler that would water their lawn. So they had to go out and buy them.
I guess that's true. Never growing any kind of plant outside of the state of Arizona. Dry gardening is a very foreign thought in my mind.
Right.
And water, very seldomly done right. I mean, I don't even get it right very often, if I ever have.
Well, you know, it depends on what you're watering. So we don't water a lot of people just water everything the same way. You don't water trees, especially mature trees, the same way you water a lawn. You don't water them the same way you water a vegetable garden. So, you know, it's really based on how deep are the roots, or how deep should the roots be, perhaps, is even a better way to put it. So a kind of a simple thing to think about it is 1-2-3. So little like plants, garden vegetables, bedding plants, small ground covers, lantana, things like that. Their roots are about a foot deep. So we need to get water about a foot deep. So you need to water long enough to get water down a foot deep. Medium-sized shrubs, landscape bushes, vines, those types of things, probably about 2 feet. And then large trees, I would say a minimum of 3 feet. So you have to, by trial and error sometimes, let water run and test it and see how long it takes to get water down to those depths. Of course, a lawn doesn't even need to be a foot deep, really, you know, grass. But some people don't water it long enough to get 2 or 3 inches deep. You know, take a screwdriver, a kind of a normal length screwdriver, and stick it in the ground. If it goes in real easy like butter, you've got water down deep enough.
I knew you were going
to
say.
You have to step on it. You're not watering it long enough.
I knew you were going to say tape measure or a screwdriver. And one thing that I invested in, it was about, I don't know, $25, I think, from Fisher Tools down in Tempe, was an actual soil probe.
Oh, sure.
And it's about 4 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, it's a sturdy fiberglass rod that at first, I'm like, why fiberglass? Why didn't they just make this out of metal? But it actually, I really like it because you can tell by the bend in the fiberglass how hard it is. You know, with the steel rod, you don't get an idea of just how much resistance is there.
Okay.
As opposed to seeing that flex in the fiberglass rod. And that has changed the watering in my orchard and on my
shade tree. Does it take a core, though? Does it take an actual core of soil out?
It does not.
Okay.
But it's about a quarter inch round. And
so it's just it's just a stick in to see how deep you can get it in. You can buy them, or used to be able to. They would actually were hollow, and you could take a core, and you could tell by the color. But you can tell by how easy it goes in.
Well, I mean,
when it stops, it stops. You know, you've in Arizona, that dirt, it's hard. There's no water there. So,
and it's amazing on the drip lines. You can go put one where the drip's been running a couple hours, and just a foot away, you can try and push it there. And
yep. So that's brings up a point. So water, once it starts penetrating the soil, doesn't just go straight down either. It moves out laterally. So you not only need to let it run long enough to get 3 feet deep, but you need to get the entire area are under the canopy of that tree or shrub, 1 or 2 or 3 feet deep. So it can't just be one little dripper that's got a 8 or 10 inch diameter of wet spot down. You need to let that area. You could literally run one dripper on a tree, and it would get the entire area under the tree wet. It would take days to do that, but it would work. It's easier if you have multiple emitters, and as the tree grows, you can move them away from the trunk and start adding them and spreading them out so that you can have these emitters placed properly, so when they run, they all eventually join, and the entire area then is wet after a number of hours. But it's hours, not minutes. Don't think if you're watering a tree for minutes, you're watering it long enough.
On a drip irrigation.
On drip. Well, almost on anything, even a big mature tree with flood irrigation or with a bubbler or just a hose running wouldn't get enough water in 30, 40, 50 minutes probably. It'd still take hours to get that done. It might not take 12 or 24 hours. You might be able to do it in 6 or 8 or 3 or 4, but it's still hours, not minutes.
I'm always testing and playing with new things that they come out on the market, and there's always a different way to water it, and a different sprinkler head and a different water-saving device, sure, and a different applicator. One thing interesting that I've enjoyed but have finally found their flaw, have you seen the drip emitters where you can adjust the head and you can go from 1 gallon an hour up to 10 gallon an hour?
Correct. Yep.
In between waterings in the summertime, when they, you know, you've still got to let the soil dry out, and even in the heat of the summer, if you're doing those deep waters, you let it go 7, 8, 14 days. Mm-hmm. You can come back, and the calcium buildup inside of those little emitter heads can build up and prevent the water flow that you have on those. So I've got to go check every single time I turn on a line, yeah, with those emitters, is to go back and make sure. And a lot of times I've got to unscrew the head, let water run, rinse it out, put it back on, and then I'm back to my gallons per minute that I had originally set it at.
Yeah, it emitters, and I'll guarantee you that if you've got any kind of emitter on a drip system that's been on there for longer than 6 months, it probably isn't delivering the water it was when it was new.
No. That, I do, you know, the water conservation and saving that they were trying to achieve with that is great, but if you're trying to do a big orchard, I would go.
I'll tell you bubblers. what we've gone to is either bubblers or go to the hard pipe with the ports, and using a port, then running just drip lines off of that, so that it's regulated by the port and not by the little emitters out at the end. And those are pretty darn good. And I like either the rigid line, or you can buy a very thick walled flexible tubing now that works really great.
Jay Harper, The Farm's Choice, thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us in the lawn, garden, and beautiful Arizona outdoors.
Always fun.